Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
You're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Sports Report brought to you by SportsAudio.net. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. We have a lot on tap for the show today. John Mullen, longtime Chicago sports journalist from Comcast Sports Network in Chicago, will join us. We'll talk about the Bears and the Lions coming up. Big game on Sunday for the Lions as they attempt to stay on top of the NFC North. The Packers sit at 6-6, the Vikings also at 6-6, and the Lions at 8-4. So if you're a Packer fan, what you need is for the Lions to lose a game. The Packers have to keep winning. And then hopefully that last game of the season against Detroit will have a lot of meaning for both the Packers and the Lions. Of course, being Packer Dave, you know how I want things to turn out. The Bears sit at 3-9, by the way. But they had a win last week against the San Francisco 49ers. I know not the toughest opponent out there. But they did play well. Matt Barkley showing that he can do the job at quarterback, and he's had a couple impressive outings. But let's talk about the Packers here as we're in this segment. And, you know, Christian Michael was a running back for the Seahawks. They cut him this year. Even though he was performing well, they got a good stable of backs there. So they let Christian Michael go. The Packers picked him up off of waivers. Pleaded in the running back core. And let's hear Christian Michael talk about facing his former team, the Seahawks. That's who is in town against the Packers in the late afternoon game. Here's Christian Michael.
Those guys are lifelong brothers, you know what I mean? Thomas, Russ, Doug on the offense, out of bottom, Earl, hope things work out for him. Cam, all those guys, man, Bobby Wagner, Michael Bennett, all those guys, man, I miss them all, man. We stay in touch. That's my brothers, you know what I mean? But this is my team now. You know, this is where I'm in, and I'm trying to help this team win. You know what I mean? It's going to be fun, of course, just like it was when I played, met him when I was in Dallas. It's going to be fun, but at the same time, I got to do my job.
Any fun texts back and forth with those guys this week?
It's all about focus. We focus on the week, of course. We'll probably put it all out this Sunday when we see each other on the field, laugh and joke then. But I'm sure those guys are busy, focused on their job just like as well as I am.
So the Packers have won two in a row, and they need this game against Seattle. This is a big one. It'll be a national game on Fox. And Clay Matthews, you know, he's had injury problems this year again. And he talks about his shoulder. You know, he took a heavy shot, and now he's having to deal with shoulder issues. Here's Clay Matthews.
That's exactly that. You know, we just try and be smart, I think. You know, last week I really wanted, you know, to be out there, and it might have been a little early, but, you know, this week I feel like, you know, as long as we're smart, and, I mean, obviously you hope for the best as far as landing on it or anything else that could set it back. You just, you know, you have to be smart, but at the same time take your shots. So you just hope for the best, but, you know, it's moving in the right direction, so hopefully that's good news.
The Packer defense has been stepping up the last couple weeks. In the four-game losing streak the Packers had, the defense was giving up 40-plus points a game. You just can't win. And Aaron Rodgers was playing lights out during that time. But you can't win when you're giving up that many points. And, you know, you got Matthew Stafford now playing the Bears this week. He's you don't hear a lot about him in the MVP talk, but he's certainly that valuable to his team. So we'll talk with John Mullen from Comcast Sports about that. Also, Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. He was at Hallis Hall this week, and we'll talk to him about what's going on over there with the Bears. That's all coming up right here on the Sports Report, brought to you by SportsAudio.net. A lot coming back on the show, so stay with us.
Decorating for the holidays should be a joyful time, but it can put a pinch on your budget. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about an economical approach to Christmas trees right after this.
Step 1. Make a list of your weekend projects. Drywall, wash the patio, scrape the loose paint on the deck. Step 2. Pour yourself a cup of coffee.
Hey, Family Guy's on TV. Love that show.
Step 3. 2 hours later, back to your list. Step 4. Pick a project, break out the tools. Get it done. Step 5. Go ahead. One more episode. No guilt this time. Hyde Tools. Everything you need to start somewhere at thehideway.com.
These days, a nice artificial Christmas tree can cost $100 or more, but you can save big on a live Christmas tree if you do the cutting yourself. No, I'm not talking about chopping one out of your neighbor's yard. You can find a tree farm that allows you to cut it yourself, and you'll save money, get a fresh tree, and enjoy a family outing all at the same time. Folks in suburban communities can count on spending $30 to $45 for a tree, while those in outlying areas will pay a bit less. You don't need a truck because most Christmas tree farms will shake the tree to remove the loose needles and then package and load it for you. But remember, get it into water within 2 hours after cutting. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Hey, this is Tom Arnold. I was just talking to my buddy Charlie Sheen, and he tells me the Packer Dave has been with more fat chicks than I have. Thank you.
I doubt it. That's right. By the way, if you did not know this, I doubled for Charlie Sheen in two movies back in the late 90s. A lot of fun. Martin Sheen was in one. One was directed by Bret Michaels. Tia Carrera was in one. Met a lot of fun people. But, you know, that wasn't my career. What I do is this right here, the Sports Report, brought to you by sportsaudio.net. Now we bring in Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. He was recently at Hallis Hall, as he goes there every week. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. Didn't I see those movies at the cutout bin at Target?
Yeah, for just a couple days, and then they were gone, and you have to dig real hard to find either of them. If you want to, one's called No Code of Conduct, and another one is called The Five Aces. And if you rent The Five Aces, or you somehow get it or buy it, the very last scene is a kissing scene at the cemetery. And I did that scene. Charlie Sheen was not feeling well that day when the lead actress came up. And so I had to do that scene and the turnarounds, you know. So you'll see me from the back. But seven takes, Steve. Seven takes of kissing that girl. That was rough.
Oh, yeah.
Rough duty.
Did you have to practice?
No, she. No tongue, Steve. No tongue, okay?
No tongue.
Anyway, you were at Hallis Hall, and you know the Bears are having a tough season, 3-9. Coach John Fox coming under a little fire recently, of course. I mean, it's been a couple years now, and not a lot of success in Chicago. Jay Cutler, shoulder injury. We don't know if he's going to play before the end of the year or not, but Matt Barkley doing well. So let's touch on the quarterback situation there. A lot of people think Jay Cutler may not be gone from Chicago. What do you hear at Hallis Hall?
Well, why wouldn't he be gone from Hallis Hall? You know, he's never been a very effective quarterback. You're never going to put him in the top third of the NFL quarterbacks. And now he's coming off shoulder surgery. I think the Bears finally have gotten to the point where they don't take a huge salary cap hit if they dump him and maybe find somebody else to pick him. Why wouldn't Tony Romo be a better fit here? You probably got to imagine he's not going to be playing in Dallas next year.
Yeah, he'll get injured the first play like he always does. So everybody who talks about Tony Romo being an option, have you seen his injury history in his career? And it's not getting any better, and he's not a young quarterback. What about Matt Barkley? He's been doing well. Why aren't people saying in Chicago, maybe we ought to look at him and give him a chance?
Well, you know me. I'm on the Matt Barkley bandwagon because he went to Southern California. I actually saw him play for the three or four years that my son was at Southern Cal. I mean, I liked him then. His coach was your favorite, Petey Red Bull, Pete Carroll. He was doing, you know, the 8-step, the 7-step NFL drop. I mean, and one of the things, what's funny, when you ask in the press conferences, you know, Dowell Loggins, who is the offensive coordinator, the word he keeps talking about Barkley is his poise in the pocket, his poise with the wide receivers. Those were some of the, you know, you always ask me about what the mood is around House Hall. And a lot of the talk was about how he's building a relationship with the wide receivers and the other players, and he's taking a leadership role.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we don't want to talk too much about the Bears. They're 3-9 for crying out loud. So let's plow through some of this audio. Here's John Fox talking about the Bears and the Lions. We want to talk about the Lions on this show because they're the team that's leading the North. Here's John Fox.
Well, Matthew Stafford's been having a fantastic year. A lot's been made of his comebacks. As I mentioned earlier in the week, I think the reason their record's where it is they've won a lot of those close games, and particularly with those comebacks. And he's got a good supporting cast. I think, our last outing, Golden Tate wasn't being quite used as much in their offense. That's changed since we last played. They're utilizing Ebron. They've got some good weapons, both in the pass game and in the run game. They choose to pass a little bit more than run, but they're very effective. And then defensively, I think they've settled down. They've become a little bit more bend but don't break. They are 11th in the league as far as points scored. So it's easy to see on tape why they're where they're at.
Okay, John Fox, coach of the Chicago Bears. They play the Lions in Detroit this week. And he is right. They pass a lot more than they run. Their leading rusher, Theo Riddick, only 357 yards on the year and only averaging 3.9 yards a carry. As a matter of fact, Matthew Stafford is their second leading rusher with 178 yards. So he not only does it in the air, he does run for first downs and has been very effective this year. Now for the Bears, they've got kind of a depleted receiving core, Steve. And so you've got kind of newcomers coming around like Cam Meredith. And let's hear from Cam Meredith, wide receiver for the Bears, about being a little bit more consistent playing for the Bears and the Lions defense. Here's Cam Meredith.
I mean, we try not to harp on it too much. It is what it is right now. But at the same time, we're trying to take our situation and make it a positive, put together consistent games, finishing back-to-back wins. That'll be a huge uplift for this team. So we're all excited to go on the road and go against a cross-division rival. They're playing a really aggressive, really physical team. We got safeties that play down in the box a little bit. I think we're going to have to just find a way to attack them downfield, get behind them a little bit so they get, give us some cushion and let us make some plays.
All right, and now let's hear from Lions wide receiver Golden Tate. And as far as receiving goes, he's at 65 receptions on the year, 3 touchdowns. Anquan Boldin, as a matter of fact, has 6 touchdowns, and he wins wherever he goes, Anquan Boldin. But let's hear from Golden Tate.
Absolutely. I'm extremely proud of this organization as a whole. It would have been really easy to start blaming and, get down on our season early, but we stay with it. We knew and we know that we're a good team when everyone just does their job. And once guys started doing that, we started winning ball games. Just want to keep doing that for the rest of the season. If I could do it all over again, I wouldn't change anything. Kind of just lit a fire under me, and from then on, kind of just been rolling. Just trying to help this team win any way I can and do my part.
One of the things, Dave, that John Fox talked about in his press conference was, why he was asked why are the Lions suddenly winning games, and his basic response was it's really all in Stafford, that he's the one who's been leading the comebacks. As a lot of those wins, they're behind most of the games, one in the fourth quarter.
And now we bring in from Comcast Sports Network, John Mullen. John, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. Doing well.
Okay, now, John, the Bears and the Lions in Detroit, and you've been covering the Bears for a long time, so let's talk about the Lions, because the Bears are 3-9, and they are playing the Lions, leading the division right now, at 8-4. And so going into this game, I see a good chance for the Bears to beat Detroit because, you know, the interdivision rivalry. I think Matt Barkley's playing good football right now. And the Lions may be at home a little confident after their win against the Saints. So what's your take?
Well, I don't know what this Bears team is. My record for picking wins and losses, which has usually been pretty good, this might be the worst year ever. So I don't know what they're capable of. I will say the interesting part of Matt Barkley, for anybody from the Lions standpoint, not only has Matt Barkley been a surprise, and albeit playing really two really not very good teams. Well, I shouldn't say the Tennessee Titans are okay. But the rest of the team around him, other than the receivers dropping 10 passes in the Tennessee game, has really been good. In fact, the biggest thing I would look at, if you want to make this a tipping point in this game, is the fact that I think he's thrown, I don't know what the number is, almost 80 passes. He's been sacked once on 80 pass dropbacks, as opposed to Jay Cutler, who comes back, and I think he took the whole, you know, whatever number of sacks in the Tampa game. It was just awful. And so what, ironically, a young guy like Barkley is doing is playing in a way that is making his offensive line better, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, even if his receivers can't catch it. That's a big deal, because if you can't get the other guy's quarterback, eventually he's going to do something that's going to hurt you. And Barkley showed he's capable of doing that, both in the San Francisco and in the Tennessee games. So if from the Lions standpoint, it's not just that Barkley's dangerous, it's suddenly the whole offense is a little better. And this is a team that has been okay defensively much of the year, other than the Dallas game and Tampa Bay to some extent. The Bears might not be a team you want to play. Let's put it that way. I think you're right about, you know, this is winnable for them. And does anybody really ever trust the Lions? Come on. Seriously.
But I do more this year because I like the way Stafford is playing, and they have one of my favorite players they acquired this year, Anquan Boldin, already six touchdowns this season. And everywhere that guy goes, he wins. He was a winner in Arizona. They went to the Super Bowl when he was on the team. Mm-hmm. With San Francisco, they went to the Super Bowl when he was on the team. And with Baltimore, he went to the Super Bowl when he was on that team, too. He's a tough guy, and he's a good leader. And I think I'm a Packer fan, of course. I'm Packer Day, for crying out loud. I wish we would have got Anquan Boldin somehow.
Yeah.
Underrated guy. So I think, you know, he being with Detroit is important. But I think you're right. I think the Bears have a good shot here. Now, Steve, you meet up with John at Halas Hall when you guys are there covering the Bears. By the way, John, does Steve really do anything when he goes to Halas Hall? Just kind of hang around? What does he do there? Talk to his friends in the press? What does he really do?
he's kind of loitering with intent.
Loitering?
Hey, listen, if you're in the Bears locker room, it's hard enough to get to talk to players. They're better this year, but I've seen the guy work once in a while. I mean, basically, he's pretty good.
Hey, well, you've got one up on me then.
Hey, Dave, if Anquan Boldin was in the Packers, then maybe, don't you think Devontae Adams wouldn't be having the year he's having?
Well, I know what you're saying. I mean, we've got some good receivers. Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. We got some other guys that are pretty good. But I just like Anquan Boldin as a player, and I think he's great for any team that he goes to. So also with the Bears now, what about some of the rumblings we're hearing within the coaching staff, John?
Well, yeah, in fact, it's interesting. One of the outlets wrote something on this, and I have been told even Sunday night, somebody had a source who talked to us at Comcast that, you know, there's some smoke, there's some friction up there between Vic Fangio, the D coordinator, and Coach John Fox. As recently as yesterday, I got a hold of somebody who is very, very tight with the coaching staff. And I said, hey, look, how much is... I chose not to write it because I really... It was like a rumor of trouble. And it was a decision on my part. I'm not going to try to write rumors. I'm not sure passing it off as real news sometimes can be a little dangerous. What this individual told
has always been an odd matchup, Vic Fangio and John Fox, both being defensive coaches. But he said it's been that way from day one. There's nothing new, and this is somebody with no reason to budge on it. So I don't know. I mean, Fangio's a crusty guy. I think he'd like to be a head coach, and that's probably not going to happen based on the way the Bears are going this year. So I actually tended to put it away, and I even talked to somebody with people within the organization Sunday night who said they weren't really aware of anything unusual. Like, has there been some recent flashpoint? And the answer was no. So do they get along? Maybe. If Vic's crusty, and Steve, you know, John Fox can be crusty. Two 60-year-olds, you
That's
know,
true.
Have been successful in their own right. Both are defensive coaches. Both have philosophies, strong philosophies. You know, Vic doesn't like the way John runs practice. Okay, John doesn't like the way Vic does move. You know, somehow, hey, listen, we've been in Chicago. We saw Dick and Buddy Ryan actually get along. Well, no, they didn't get along, but they won. So I think there might be less to this than the headlines might suggest, put it that way.
Well, yeah, sometimes a little friction in an organization doesn't hurt because, you get people moving, I guess. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, you got a 3-9 team. You know, it's not going to be, peaches and cream there. There's going to be some friction.
Okay, John Mullen is with us. He is from Comcast Sports Network in Chicago. And, John, let's look at the rest of the NFC North now. You got the Vikings at 6-6, the Packers at 6-6. Of those two teams, who do you think has a better shot at making a run at the Lions and for the division?
Anybody with Aaron Rodgers gets my vote. In the clutch, Matthew Stafford Sam Bradford or Aaron Rodgers. All things being equal, well, the Vikings defense is better. Aaron Rodgers is capable, and he's also a guy with a history of playing well when it matters. In fact, I wouldn't rule the Packers out overtaking the Lions because I still, all of a sudden, this has gone from one of those divisions where, wow, it's any one of these teams could make playoffs to, you know, none of them are really dominant. I think they've kind of, I won't say they've been overrated, but I think we've seen Minnesota be a little less than everybody thought. They started off fast. The Lions, I believe it when they finish it. And then the Packers, 6-6 at this point of the year, I don't think anybody expected Aaron Rodgers to be in that position. I still think that is one of the two or three best players in the NFL, period. So if I had to vote for one, I'd vote for that number 12.
Okay, and also a lot of injuries on the Packers defense, but some of these guys coming back, especially in the defensive backfield. So if they can play better defensively, they have a better opportunity to win games. The Packers and the Seahawks in Green Bay, of course, a huge game for the Packers here. What are your thoughts on that game, and how do you see that coming out?
Well, the Seahawks just travel well. This is the team, defense travels, and Seattle has played such good defense over the last X number of years. That's a tough game. I think it'll be close. I could see Aaron Rodgers winning this game, but, like I said, defense typically doesn't have a lot of bad off days. So if you're going someplace like Lambeau Field in winter, taking a defense like Seattle's is best. That's the best thing you could take along on that trip.
And what do you take from the fact that Seattle loses badly to Tampa Bay and then comes back and just puts a shellacking on the Carolina Panthers? To me, it's like, what team are we going to see here?
Well, and unfortunately, I wouldn't say that about the Panthers. That's been a what team are we going to see team all year. Did anybody expect the MVP and the Super Bowl runner-up to? Well, maybe we did. Maybe the losing Super Bowl team, that Super Bowl jinx, definitely applies, and whatever's happening in Carolina, that's hard to figure. Again, you figure Cam Newton and some of that team, obviously you lose Luke Kuechly, things haven't gone their way either. As your point, that does make Seattle a hard team to figure, because to me, there are no super teams this year. Dallas is looking like that. New England with Tom Brady is always a borderline super team, but I don't know that anybody is running away and hiding the way we have seen teams at different times in the past. So, Seattle's just one of those teams. Like you said, they're capable of laying an egg in Tampa or against Tampa and then turning around and beating somebody really good.
John Mullen with us, Comcast Sports Network. Last here, John, I always like to ask this of reporters who cover losing teams. How do you approach it when your team is 3-9 with no hopes of going to the playoffs? How do you approach your job and how you cover the team?
Well, to me, our job is always the big question for every day is, what do people want to read about? Now, I've often said, you know, when players say, oh, you guys just want, you media people just are really down on us. You want us to lose. And I say, you got to be kidding me. A winning team, first of all, is preferable because a winning team, you can do a backup story on the left, you know, the backup left guard, and people will read it. If it's a bad team, they don't want to read about the quarterback unless it's Matt Barkley. But what is, you know, just philosophically, our readership and listenership, they want to have a dollop of sports news every day. So what's the story du jour? What is it? A new linebacker? Is it somebody who's making an impact? Is it lived in Chicago? Is it Jordan Howard? You know, is something looking like the next coming of Anthony Thomas or whatever? So what's the story? You have to feed the beast every day, and you want to give it a nice piece of meat. So some years are easier than others, but it's like people always feel bad for you when your team's losing. Well, it just makes it a little harder to come up with story ideas. But we're still, as you know, Steve, we're still talking to the same left tackle, or we're talking to the backup, this guy, or we're talking to the pass rushing, Willie Young, or, you know, Leonard Floyd, or whomever. The players may change, but the job is pretty much the same, and we owe readers a good story. You can go around, some people think, well, you're just looking for the dirt on the team. Well, no, because sometimes, like in this case, I don't think there is one. This team is not blowing apart, and I've been around teams that did. So, to me, it's just giving them an honest story that will be of interest, like Nick Kwiatkowski, this rookie inside linebacker, kid's becoming a story. That's just that kind of thing. That's what you're looking for. I think that makes the job interesting, and that's what we kind of owe our readers and listeners.
Now, I hope it wasn't a fake news story, but did I see correctly, Rashaam Salaam passed away?
Oh, yeah, it was a suicide. No, it wasn't fake news at all. No, the last I saw was a suspected suicide. Yeah, and I covered Rashaam when he came into the league, and was one of the nicest young men I've been around. I mean, what a gentle spirit. It was really sad. You know nothing about the causes. I do know that he had Marvin Demoff as his agent, and I know Rashaam and with that, his, you know, mother is a very strong figure. He wasn't destitute. He had managed his money very well. Wasn't a flamboyant. He admitted he you know, a little too much marijuana use probably hurt his career a little bit, but he broke his leg too. So. Yeah, very, very, it's like, wow, you feel like, I remember him when he was coming into the league, and now he's dead. It was just, that one jolted me. A couple of buddies got in touch and said, can you believe that? And I couldn't at first, no.
Okay, I will check into that a bit, and we'll get into that in our next segment and research that a bit. John, thank you very much for coming on the show again, and maybe we'll do it when the Bears are in the playoffs this year. Oh, that's right. The Bears are out of it again. But that's okay. You're always a good guest anyway.
No, it's always fun. Hey, getting paid to watch and talk football. This is a great country.
Okay. John Mullen, Comcast Sports Network Chicago. And you are listening to the Sports Report brought to you by SportsAudio.net. Steve and I will return after this. Hang with us here on the show.
If you're like me, you prefer the look and aroma of a live Christmas tree, but you also know how quickly they can dry out. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a simple way to keep your tree watered right after this.
Concerned about grout staining? Worry no more. New Fusion Pro Single Component Grout from Custom Building Products is a revolutionary new grout with unsurpassed stain resistance built into the formulation. It resists common household stains, and it never needs to be sealed like standard grout. And unlike other stain-resistant grouts on the market, such as epoxy or urethane, Fusion Pro is easy to work with and clean. So no matter if you're tiling yourself or hiring a professional, ask for Fusion Pro Grout for a beautiful, long-lasting tile installation.
If you have a live Christmas tree, you already know how important it is to keep it watered regularly. Nothing can spoil the Christmas mood as much as a dry tree that sheds its needles every day by the pound. To keep from having to stoop down and pour water into a tree stand every other day and risk spilling it all over the floor, try this. Attach a small section of garden hose to a regular funnel. Make sure the diameter of the funnel spout will fit snugly into the hose. Feed the hose up the trunk line and place the funnel just inside the branches of the tree, about 3 feet off the floor. Now, when it's time for watering, simply pour the water into the funnel. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Have you ever been turned down because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. Just call us at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they can finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. Call 800-605-3081 to see how much we can help your credit score no matter how bad it is. Call now, 800-605-3081. That's 800-605-3081.
Hi, Packer Dave. This is Jeff Foxworthy saying if you sit outside in 10-degree weather with a piece of cheese on your head, you might be a redneck.
Back on the Sports Report, brought to you by SportsAudio.net. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal in Chicago. And we're talking about it with John Mullen from Comcast Sports Network. And, former Chicago Bear first-round pick Rashan Salaam, the 1994 Heisman Trophy winner at a park in Boulder, Colorado, was found dead. He was 42 years old, and it is being investigated as a possible suicide. So that's real sad news. Born in La Jolla, right outside of San Diego there. And he was the Bears' first-round draft pick, 21st overall in the 1995 draft. He did rush for over 1,000 yards in his rookie season, but that was the highlight of his career, that one season. And didn't quite pan out overall for the Bears, but very sad news, you know, only 42 years old. So, well, let's look at the rest of the games in the NFL, Steve. And we already know that the Kansas City Chiefs had a big win against the Raiders on Thursday night. But we got a couple of other games that are going to be fun to watch, of course, as always in the National Football League. And let's look at some of these. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. I think that's going to be a real good one, as both teams needing wins right now. You know, you look at the Buffalo Bills, they were up 24-9. Against the Raiders last week and blew it. So, you know, Buffalo needs the win. They are at home, so that might be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has been a bit of an enigma. They've not played well on the road. They've certainly done a lot better at home, but you never know which Pittsburgh team is going to show up. I guess it also depends on Roethlisberger's health.
Yeah, that, but, you know, Le'Veon Bell is back, and, of course, they've got a great receiving core there. Pittsburgh, you know, that's a team you just don't want to play down the stretch. They know how to win. They've been to several Super Bowls even in recent years, even. Well, up to 2010. After that, the 10 season, after that, they haven't been to one. But some of the other games on the slate, San Diego at Carolina, Cincinnati at Cleveland. If you're really looking for yourself, that would be a tough one. Houston at Indianapolis, a lot of playoff implications for that game.
Yeah, they're all tied up in that division pretty much. Yeah,
yep, 6-6. It's the high mark there. Minnesota at Jacksonville. Maybe Jacksonville can get a win at home, beat the Vikings, and help the Pack out in the Central Division.
Yeah, that Vikings defense is pretty tough.
The Cardinals at Miami, that's a big game for both of those teams. Washington at Philadelphia, Washington needing that game. New Orleans at Tampa Bay, Denver at Tennessee, and then the late games, the Jets at San Francisco, Atlanta at Los Angeles. Dallas at the New York Giants is the Sunday night game, and let's hear from Coach Jason Garrett. You know, they've got Cole Beasley there. They've got Dez Bryant. They've got, of course, Ezekiel Elliott. A lot of weapons
there. How
about
Dak Prescott?
And Dak Prescott, of course. But here, Garrett comments on Dez Bryant and his play right now.
He's an outstanding football player, has been since he's gotten here. He's gotten better and better every year. You know, so much of what he's all about starts with who he is as a person. Very passionate guy, very passionate about our team and about playing football. He loves to play. And anybody who's ever watched us practice knows that he catches more balls in practice than anybody who's ever caught balls. He catches them from quarterbacks, coaches. He catches them from trainers, equipment guys. And he just loves the game and works very hard at it. And, you know, his production speaks for itself. His impact on the game speaks for itself. He's one of those guys when he breaks the huddle, opposing defenses for the last 6 or 7 years, they're looking for number 88. And not only does that help our football team, but he's learned to be able to deal with that attention and still be productive. And so he's an awfully good football player. We're lucky to have him.
Okay, that's Dallas at New York. That is the Sunday night game. And then NBC, the following Sunday night, flexed into Tampa Bay at Dallas. And it's been a long time. I don't know if they've ever played a Sunday night game, Tampa Bay. I'd have to check that. But that's next Sunday night's game. So if
you know what I like about Tampa? Winston to Evans. That's a great combination.
I like the weather. They had Pittsburgh at Cincinnati slotted for that Sunday night game, but I guess they thought they could do better. And so Tampa Bay at Dallas next week, Sunday night game. Now, the Monday night game for this week, Baltimore at New England, and that's a nice rivalry between those two teams. Tom Brady talks about it right here.
I think all these games are kind of the same. You know, I just, you know, look at the opponent and look at what they do. And, you know, the only thing that matters is what we do this week in practice and in the game. So I think you just try to put everything aside and, you know, whether it was that or whether it was, you know, playoff game a couple years ago, whether it was a regular season game a couple years ago or championship games, I mean, none of those really matter. So it's really going to be about what this team does this week. And like I said, coaches try to put a lot of urgency on that. And, you know, we understand that. We know we're facing a, you know, team that's 7-5. They're at the top of their division. They have a lot of confidence in what they do, and so do we. So it's going to be a good, you know, tough matchup.
Okay, and there you go, Tom Brady. Good game Monday night. Sometimes those Monday night games are dogs, but this one's pretty good. Baltimore at New England. And now you can are you going to say something, Steve?
Well, I was going to say, what do you think about the fact that despite not having Brady for those four games, they're still 10-2 and sitting atop their division?
I'm not surprised at all. So Bill Belichick's a winner. He always wins. You know, you look at how many, not just Super Bowls, but AFC championship games that the Patriots have been in Belichick's tenure there, along with Tom Brady. And it's incredible. They're just winners. And it happens every year in New England. All right. Now, if you want to tune out now, you're more than welcome to. There's probably something good on cable TV, or maybe you can surf the net or something, because I think we got about 7 minutes of Steve talking fantasy football, right, Steve?
Yeah, but think about it. Have you seen all the advertising? It's big business, this fantasy football stuff. I love it. I couldn't tell you how excited I got when Golden Tate passed. You know, he ran about 60 yards in for a touchdown because we had him in fantasy last week. He was a stud.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not saying that fantasy football isn't popular. I'm saying you're not.
Of course, it's always in the guise of for entertainment purposes only.
Okay, why don't you set this up, Steve?
Well, and we kind of explained a little bit in the piece, but basically Mike and I decided that
Mike who?
Mike Perlow.
If you're going to set up a piece, you got to give the – I'm trying to help you here. Go ahead.
Mike Perlow is a stud in fantasy football – in fantasy baseball, too. But in fantasy football, he constantly wins in season long.
Who is he?
He's my friend.
Some guy off the street?
No, he's my buddy. But now
isn't he an SRN broadcasting contributor?
He is an SRN contributor. Yeah, I say all that in the piece. Of course, if you'd heard it, if you listen to it.
Why would I want to do that to myself? I already told the audience they can tune out. Why would I tune in?
Nice example you're setting.
I'm sure this is just riveting sports radio coming up, friends. So you don't want to miss it. Okay, here's SRN broadcasting, Steve Leventhal, an SRN broadcasting contributor, Mike Perlow, on fantasy football.
He and I are collaborating together, although it's mostly Mike with my dollars and his dollars, to play daily fantasy sports this season. And how are we doing so far, Mike?
Well, we're doing okay. We started out with $150. We are sitting at $125 right now after 13 weeks. And I think we've had some ups and downs, but lately some ups.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're doing FanDuel for those of you who care. Anyway, so let's jump right into it, looking at this weekend's lineups. We'll just give the listeners quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, et cetera. So starting at quarterback, who are two or three quarterbacks that you like this weekend?
I really like Jameis Winston this week. I'll start with him. He's facing Saints. Saints are, I think, number 32 out of 32 teams.
And that's a 51.5-point over-under. Tampa's a 2.5-point favorite, so absolutely that makes Jameis a good play. Who else do you like?
Yeah, Jameis is good. And, you know, Matthew Stafford came back alive over the last couple of weeks, and he's facing a depleted Bears secondary in Detroit. Matthew Stafford could put up some strong numbers.
Yeah, and so even though that game is a 43.5-point over-under, the Lions are favored by 7. So, although in the past I've cautioned Mike against going against the Bears because for whatever reason, they don't give up a lot and they do score some, but that might not be a bad play. Bears are absolutely struggling and Lions are surging. Who else? Got one more quarterback for me?
I'll throw one more QB out there, and this guy has been surging over the last month now. Kirk Cousins, let me tell you, he's slinging the rock for Washington. He's got Philadelphia this weekend, and let me tell you something, Philadelphia's defense, I think they might have given up for the year.
Okay, what about Roethlisberger? Yay, nay?
He's up, he's down. This week he faces a tough Buffalo defense in Buffalo. I'm going to stay away from him. I think that this might be a Le'Veon Bell game.
Okay, well, that's a great segue into the running backs. So if you like Le'Veon Bell against that Buffalo defense, who else do you like in the running back category?
Well, I like David Johnson morning, noon, and night. Week 13, week 14, week 18. No, there isn't one of those. But David Johnson, how can you go wrong with this guy? He's facing Miami. Miami is a lower third rush defense, and David Johnson is the Arizona offense right now.
Now, one of the guys that you've been hot on, it was a great pick last week, was Jordan Howard. What do you think about him against Detroit?
Absolutely. You know, we found the Jordan Howard train, and we hopped aboard, and I would stay on for one more ride. Detroit has been tough on defense, but if you think about it, the Bears' offense, similar to what we were just talking about a moment ago with David Johnson, the Bears' offense goes through Howard, right? You've got Matt Barkley.
And not too many receivers.
To his name.
Yeah, he's making his third start.
And a suspended Alshon. And come on, it's Jordan Howard left, Jordan Howard right, Jordan Howard up the middle.
Yeah, that's going to be the Bears offense. Okay, yeah. Give me three wide receivers to look at this weekend.
Absolutely. When we look at wide receivers, who sticks out most for me is, without a doubt, Mike Evans. You and I were talking earlier in the week, and before I even knew where the prices lay for FanDuel, you told me that Tampa was facing New Orleans. That's why I like Jameis Winston on the quarterback front, and that's why I love Mike Evans. Because right now, keep in mind, Vincent Jackson's gone for the year. It's either Mike Evans or it's Mike Evans or it's Mike Evans. He's getting 60% of the targets. Winston.
What about Julio Jones against Los Angeles in California?
Yeah, Julio kind of banged himself up, and now he's sitting with turf toe. And I'll tell you, turf toe kind of scares me. You think it's not a big deal, but your big toe is what you pivot on if you are a wide receiver in the NFL. And I don't know that I can trust his health in this important week.
Okay.
Stay away from Julio.
One more receiver then. Who would you like?
I'm going to go with Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham has been on a tear lately. They've got an enormous game this week against Dallas. Dallas's defense has been suspect. They have no pass rush at all. I really think that we could expect to see some fireworks in that game, and Odell Beckham loves the limelight, and this game is going to be for supremacy in the NFC East.
What about on the other side of the coin, Dez Bryant for Cowboys?
You know, Dez has come alive over the last couple of weeks. He's come back from his injury, which kept him out of lineups for a good month. Having been back on the field now for a couple of weeks, he really stepped up last week. We all had a chance to see him on the primetime game, right, last Thursday night. And he looked like that men among boys that we've seen so many times from Dez in the past. I would absolutely back Dez.
Okay, what about tight end? Although one of the good tight ends played in the Thursday night game in Kelsey for Kansas City. Who's left on the board? What about you, like Greg Olsen?
Yeah, you know, there are very few tight ends that I trust in these days. Even I think maybe you were about to say Greg Olsen, and we talked about potentially Greg Olsen in a lineup earlier. If you look at his game log, he's really declined over the last 3 weeks. And honestly, Cam Newton and the Carolina offense has really declined over the last few weeks. I'm a little concerned with them there. And I'm actually staying away from Greg Olsen. He was a sure thing for me first 2 months of the season. I think he's hit a bit of a roadblock. I like Jimmy Graham. I like Seattle. Jimmy Graham a lot.
Against the Packers. It's going to snow on Sunday. You know that, right?
Is it going to snow up there? Well, yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be fun to watch. But I love that Russell Wilson is relying on Jimmy Graham almost to the level that we saw Drew Brees rely on Jimmy Graham 2 years back. We have developed the Jimmy Graham we thought we were going to get when he came to Seattle, and I'm excited to see him play a tough-fought battle with a Green Bay defense that is not scary at all. Mm-hmm. Not scary at all.
All right, folks, we're talking with Mike Perlo, the SRN Sports Fantasy Expert here. We're going to skip the kicker position because, you know, there's not necessarily a rhyme or reason for that, and I'd rather just concentrate in the time we've got left on defenses and who are some of the top defenses that you'd be liking this weekend.
Yeah, I immediately found myself attracted to the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to be facing Cleveland. If you haven't heard, Steve, RG3 is going to be back at the helm for the Cleveland Browns this week.
Yeah.
Fresh off of IR. And I expect Cincinnati Bengals to swarm RG3. I expect turnovers galore. Cincinnati got 3 interceptions last week. They're pressuring the quarterback well.
What about the Vikings at Jacksonville?
Yeah, absolutely. Another really strong play. Vikings have been strong all year. Stout defense. Very, very, very tough defense to gain yards on.
Opportunistic, too.
We've seen Blake Bortles struggle, captaining the ship for the Jaguars. He's good for at least a pick six every couple of weeks, and very likely to happen certainly this weekend.
Well, excellent. So thanks, Mike Perlo, our SRN Fantasy Sports Expert, for giving us the lowdown. And we'll report back next week, hopefully, and see how we did.
Sounds good, Steve. Take care.
Well, that was entertaining. Thank you very much, Steve and Mike. Steve, you guys did a great job. I sure appreciate it, and I'm sure the audience does too.
What'd you think was the best part?
Mostly the ending. When it was done, I'm just kidding. It was great. I couldn't get enough. All right, we want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Report. I want to thank John Mullen from Comcast Sports Network and, of course, Mike Perlo, SRN broadcasting contributor with Steve on Fantasy Football here. So for Steve Leventhal, I'm Packer Dave saying thank you very much for listening to the show. We do it every week. Come back. We love you. Take care. Have a good one. Enjoy the games. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get the bears, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless.
club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.